the energy has regressed. He noted that the mitochondria, the powerhouses in the malignant cells, stop functioning correctly and the energy is made in the cell cytoplasm, reverting to how the cell worked when the atmosphere was anaerobic or lacking in oxygen. Warburg was in fact only partly right. The cancer cell can also upregulate other pathways to maintain its energy needs, including the normal oxidative phosphorylation pathway. This abnormal metabolism needs huge amounts of glucose and glutamine, an amino acid, and there is also an increase in lipid fat metabolism. Unbelievable as it sounds, it took until 2011 for researchers to recognize this and acknowledge the Warburg effect as a hallmark of cancer. Worse still, the somatic gene theory is still accepted by the medical profession as the only driver of cancer. On the other hand, integrative doctors have never forgotten Warburg. In the 1950s, the field of oncology emerged with the use of chemotherapy and radiotherapy that targeted the cell's gene and the cell's cycle. This genetic approach was further boosted when it was discovered in the 1960s that the P53 gene was implicated in many cancers. What was not acknowledged was that P53 affected the metabolism, increasing glycolysis, the breakdown of sugar for energy, and the glutaminolysis, the breakdown of glutamine for energy, as do many of the main genetic mutations, e.g. BRAF, C, MYC. These metabolic changes trigger further mutagenic changes. Cancer comprises a genetic component, a metabolic component, and abnormal cell signaling. Currently, mainstream oncology treats only the genetic component. It focuses merely on the abnormal cell division and mutated genetic targets, although there have been recently approved drugs to target the immune checkpoints with a small degree of short-term success. What is less understood is that treating the metabolism combined with these genetic approaches will enhance any other cancer therapy, often reversing drug resistance, a common phenomenon where the genes have mutated and become resistant to chemotherapy or immunotherapy. Research into the cell nucleus, the double helix of DNA, seen as the code of life, and decoding the genome through the Human Genome Atlas project, was meant to reveal all the answers. Instead, what was discovered was a random mess. There was no genetic answer to cancer, but the altered metabolism, the increased uptake of glucose and/or glutamine, was found to be common to all cancers. Starving cancer is now the hot area of research and drug discovery. Even though cheap, off-patent, and highly effective solutions exist already, I discovered these on my own between 1999 and 2003, with no assistance from the medical field. They were simply never suggested to me. Instead, I had to persuade several medics, complementary and orthodox, to prescribe them. As the drugs I discovered are off-patent, there is no financial incentive for large pharmaceutical companies to explore them, and they continue to be ignored. There is even an attempt to suppress these old drugs because they represent a financial threat to these major corporations and big cancer charities. With the advent of better detection methods, MRI, PET scans, that showed chemotherapy and radiotherapy shrinking tumors quickly, the mainstream continues to be sold on the somatic theory. It's a rash decision, fed by panic and the hunger for quick results. In the mad dash to get rid of a tumor, the patient is overtreated with high levels of either chemotherapy, radiotherapy, or targeted therapies. This approach is doomed to fail. It only makes the patient more resistant to future treatment. Focusing on the DNA does not affect the cancer stem cell. Cancer returns harder and more aggressively than before. The cancer mutates and eventually becomes resistant to these targeted treatments. Treating the cancer metabolism, on the other hand, alongside targeted approaches, will reach the stem cell and offer the real opportunity for a cure. But these treatments are much slower, taking many months. The patient and the oncologist will both need patience. By the 1970s, two distinct camps emerged, alternative and conventional. The war between the two has gradually escalated, each camp saying the other is wrong. Now it's at fever pitch, leaving the poor patient in the middle. Who should they listen to, and what should they do? All the patient wants is to get better. It is confusing and frightening. Indeed, neither approach is ideal. Patients are regularly overtreated and poisoned with too much chemotherapy. Furthermore, used on their own, recommended diets seldom work unless they are very extreme, and most patients struggle to follow these. What I discovered was the whole is greater than a sum of its parts. In other words, that to combine metabolic and genetic approaches more than doubles the effectiveness of each. They work in synergy, magnifying each other's effects. So, when you or a loved one are diagnosed with cancer, what should you do? First and foremost, arm yourself with knowledge. Seek the community and the solidarity you need, not only to overcome the cancer, but to thrive. And remember, no matter what you're told by conventional medicine, there is so much more that can be done. 1. Join my revolution. My Facebook group, Jane McClelland Off-Label Drugs for Cancer, catchy title, has lots of chat and discussion about various off-label drugs. I encourage scientific and peer-reviewed articles, and of course, stories of personal experience are always inspiring. www.facebook.com/groups/off.label.drugsforcancer. Also, visit and sign up for email updates on www.howtostarvecancer.com. Personal data will never be shared. 2. Attend the CARE Oncology Clinic. This groundbreaking clinic has now treated over 1,000 patients with its off-label drug combination of metformin, atorvastatin, doxycycline, and mebendazole. All these drugs, their benefits, and the ones I used are discussed both in this book and on my web pages. 3. Partner with an integrative or functional medicine practitioner. You should immediately bring complementary therapy into your treatment. The right practitioner can check your micronutrient status, work on gut issues, leaky gut, dysbiosis, recommend supplements and intravenous vitamin C or other treatments if necessary. 4. Partner with a nutritionist. You should find a nutritionist experienced with intermittent fasting, ketogenic, low-glycemic, macrobiotic, or reduced protein, e.g. the paleo diet. He or she should tailor your nutrient intake to your personal requirements, ensuring that the diet is neither unnecessarily complex or extreme, as the drugs help this. Although there are no trained oncology nutritionists at the moment, your own knowledge of what fuel your cancer prefers, the glutamine, glucose, lipid ratio, will guide food choices and help you starve your cancer. For instance, virtually all cancers respond to a reduced glucose intake. Glutamine-fueled cancers require a lower protein intake, and fat-driven cancers, e.g. prostate, melanoma, need to avoid ketogenic diets. Reducing saturated fat is also important for every type of cancer. 5. educate your oncologist. Go to www.howtostarvecancer.com or my Facebook group. Download the relevant articles and show them to your oncologist. It is vital to keep your oncologist on side. Emphasize that you want to combine genetic approaches with metabolic approaches. You need a collaborator, not a dictator. Sadly, most oncologists currently do not agree with a combination approach for a myriad of reasons. Find one that does. See my website, www.howtostarvecancer.com, for an up-to-date list. Oncologists who initially resist may eventually be won over. 6. Exercise. Recent research by the diabetic community shows that appropriate exercise can dramatically enhance cancer therapy. The secret may not be how much, but when you take your exercise. 15 to 20 minutes after eating, a brisk walk pulls out glucose from the blood and redirects it to the muscles. This effectively starves the cancer cell microenvironment. 7. Monitor your blood glucose and blood markers. You need to track your blood glucose to find out how well you metabolize carbohydrates, just as diabetic patients are told to do. Have your antigen markers taken and make sure you track them. 8. Sleep and de-stress. The right amount of sleep at the right time, together with lowering stress, will improve immunity while also reducing cortisol and insulin resistance. Yoga, meditation, exercise, even beta blockers such as propranolol, which is a very effective cancer growth blocker, can all help improve your chances of beating cancer. 9. Keep hydrated. Good hydration levels are important to lower the glucose concentration of the blood. Raised salt levels change the osmotic potential of your blood, encouraging the growth of pathogens. This creates inflammation around the cancer cell, the terrain, and inflammation drives cancer growth. 10. Don't give up. Continue with a good low glycemic diet, the supplements and the off-label drugs, incorporating lots of olive oil, a safe fat despite its omega-6 content. Avoid alcohol until the cancer is under control and markers are stable and normal. Then, one unit of either wine or a spirit, not beer, may be permitted per week with vigilance. Be strict about avoiding smoke and carcinogens, especially those that affect your hormonal balance. It is imperative that you monitor your blood glucose and track your triglyceride levels. Specific supplements, exercise, and drugs will keep insulin and glucose levels low. It is possible to live with cancer, though you may need to develop a long-term approach, like living with diabetes. The major barrier to achieving the above 10 steps is that your cancer diagnosis must come from an oncologist, and most are currently not supportive of the combined metabolic and genetic approach. I have witnessed some oncologists sabotaging results when the patient is showing healthy improvement by increasing the dose of chemotherapy, effectively killing the patient. Some refuse traditional treatment altogether if the patient includes off-label drugs in their treatment program. Or the oncologist suggests a trial where the inclusion criteria means the patient must stop all metabolic drugs. I have witnessed many patients with rampant disease stabilize on the care oncology clinic drugs, then be forced off them for a trial and deteriorate rapidly. Combination treatments work. When the data are released from the care oncology clinic, they will show success at an unprecedented level. Until the metabolic approach is accepted as standard of care, arm yourself with knowledge and seek the help you need. Yes, it's a tough road, but like me, you too can make it. It is my aim to inspire you with my story and my discoveries, and to convince you that there truly is more hope than you may think. take action. Do